you know, there are some areas that that we need to increase in number, I think, with qualified younger people, because our industry is aging. So bringing in new people, and not just new young men, but new young women who are chemists and engineers and have MBAs and just have that drive to be able, even, you know, machine operators, all of it. I think there's still room to grow.
I think that for myself, in the beginning, it was really natural to feel a lack of confidence simply because I was new in the industry. However, I do feel that women in general are doers, multitaskers, and we handle all aspects in our daily lives. So nonetheless, I think we take this for granted and don't really think that this is a special capability. We just feel like, oh, this is a normal thing. And what we should realize is that this is a real skill set, and we can often allow ourselves to get up to speed and excel in everything or anything that we have a determination or a mindset to accomplish. But, you know, it's no need to take a back seat and just, you know, drive it forward, be the driver.
Those are my guests, Michelle Ogihara and Sherry Stepp, next on Reliability Matters.
Welcome to Reliability Matters, a podcast for the electronic assembly industry. Each episode covers topics related to reliability, best practices, and environmentally responsible assembly techniques, with insights from experts across the electronic assembly industry. Now, here's your host, Mike Conrad.
Welcome to another episode of Reliability Matters. One of the advantages of working in the same industry for 34 years is that I get to know my colleagues quite well. When I learned about a new industry group called FLITE, F-L-I-T-E, Female Leaders in Tech Everywhere, I wanted to feature them on my podcast. I was delighted to discover the two U.S. ambassadors of FLITE are two of my favorite people in this industry, each I have known for more than 20 years. My guests today are Michelle Ogihara and Sherry Stepp. They are U.S. ambassadors for FLITE, Female Leaders in Tech Everywhere. Welcome, Sherry and
Hi,
Michelle.
Mike.
Good morning.
Good morning. Before we get into FLITE and its mission, let's talk about the two of you. How and when did you get into this industry? I know you've been in this industry for longer than you probably care to admit, because I have been in this industry longer than I care to admit. And I remember meeting the both of you a lot of years ago. So tell me how and when you got into this industry. Michelle or Sherry, go for it.
Okay, well, I guess I'll start. Thank you. This is Michelle. I joined Seika Machinery in November of 98. So I just passed my 20th anniversary, if you can believe that. So at that time, I had just returned from overseas stint in Malaysia and Japan, and I needed to brush up my computer skills. So I joined a personnel agency. A friend of mine was running it, and a position came across my desk. And in the short term, my client became my new boss. And I was a single mom and raising two young girls with no background in electronics other than teaching English to production managers in Malaysia. And so I started off in a receptionist and a sales assistant position. And, you know, long story short, received several promotions until my current position here as senior sales and marketing manager, which was a role that was created especially for me. But what helped me was joining the SMTA in my early years and really honing some, you know, leadership skills and getting involved on a voluntary level at the local chapter, and also joining the IPC and, you know, as the years pass and contributing with you on the IPC joint standards, you know, 7526 handbook and stencil cleaning and misprint cleaning committee. You wrote it. I just contributed a small part of it. And also on the SMTA that participating on the 033 standards early in the day when it first, when that standard first was established, then joining, co-chairing with Mumtaz Bora on the MSD Council. So that was really my beginning, and up until fast forward to my position here at SACA now.
That's been quite a journey. And now am I correct in saying you're on the board of directors of the San Diego Surface Mount Technology Association chapter?
You know what? People have told me, are you on every, it's because I'm so excited about the local chapters that I go to every chapter meeting that I can, but I'm actually on the board of the Silicon Valley SMTA.
Oh, Silicon chapter. Valley. That's right. That's right. Yes. We do trade shows in San Diego together, but that's right. You're up in the Bay Area.
That's right.
Okay. How about you, Sherry? Tell me about your intro. When and how did you land in this wonderful business?
Well, I have worked for Kaizen for 22 years. I was their travel agent for 5 years before I talked them into hiring me. So 27.
Probably a good move considering there aren't travel agents anymore for the most part.
Well, you know, and 22 years ago, we were a dying breed. But yeah, so I talked them into hiring me. Kaizen is 29 years old this year, just last week, as a matter of fact. And so I've been around for 27 of the 29. I was hired to be the sales and marketing assistant, which meant I did all of the paperwork and PowerPoints and just all the admin stuff. Was very curious about everything that we did as a company. So I started getting into the lab and talking to the salespeople and talking to the technical people, and moved into customer service, and then just kept moving on and went into inside sales. And then the opportunity opened up for someone to do the actual marketing. And so I became the marketing manager. Recently promoted to the global marketing manager. So we have four other facilities around the world, China, Malaysia, and Belgium, and then New Hampshire, our headquarters here in Nashville. So I get to manage the strategy for all of it. I'm very active within the SMTA. I'm on two of the different committees, the MarCom committee and the exhibitor committee. Kaizen is a big sponsor of the women's program at SMTAI. Every year we sponsor it, and I'm a big advocate for it. We do a lot of work there. I also volunteer for Project Pencil and have done some in the STEM program at a local junior high. I've gone in and spoken to different classes. Some of our chemists here who are women have gone with me to do career days and things like that. So it's been a long and wonderful journey, and it's exciting to be part of Flight.
That's great. We're going to talk specifically about Flight in a little bit. I do want to do touch one thing, though, just kind of check it off the list. This podcast is called Reliability Matters. It's about all things reliability. Both of you, Sherry and Michelle, work in at companies that build products that promote reliability for your customers' products. So tell me what products that you guys sell, that manufacture and or sell, that improve the reliability of your customers' products and how they do. Let's start with Michelle.
Oh, thank you. SACA represents over 20 different lines of SMT equipment from Japan. So these suppliers are top tier. They're well known throughout Japan and Asia. And so these equipment lines have had to meet the requirements of new technology developments in the market, such as when the lead-free movement came on over 20 years ago. They were optimized for this process. And more recently, with the miniaturization of packages and the high-density PCBs, and for large production capacity in the Asian market. So more to our market here, which is a great deal of high-mix, low-to-mid-volume scenarios and prototypes of new new products that come online. So these proved to be really challenging. And so we do have to be able to fulfill those requirements as well as, and be very flexible, provide flexible solutions for our customers. So that is a constant of demand. And that's what we face in our market here.
Very good. Sherry?
We make cleaning chemistries. And for all of the reasons that Michelle mentioned, the smaller packages, the tighter pitch, the demand for higher reliability electronics. I heard someone say one day that, you know, we clean things so that if they are supposed to go boom, they do. And if they're not supposed to go boom, they don't.
Oh, there's so much more fun if they're supposed to go boom.
Yeah. I like the booms, but if they're not supposed to, we don't want them to. So
that's true.
So over the last 29 years, we've been we're constantly researching, trying to stay ahead of the technology. As you know, the solder paste people, they're our dirt. So we have to continually keep up with the technology. You know, we've gone through lead-free, we've gone through water-soluble, we've gone through no clean. And while all those things sound very environmentally friendly and streamlined, they still need to clean. So we're dedicated, you know, we have, we do a lot of presentations and technical papers. There's a lot of research and development that goes on here. So we're definitely in the business of making sure that those high reliability electronics stay that way.
Go boom or not to go boom. I like that. I'm going to steal that from you. I'll credit
I actually stole it from Mark McMean.
Oh, there you go. See, it's just, we just passed it. We're a very collaborative industry here, right? So let's switch gears a little bit and talk about what the intended topic was. And before I ask you some questions, I'll just share an experience. In 1982, my wife was pregnant with our daughter. My wife, Debbie, was pregnant with our daughter, Tracy. And my wife worked for a bank at the time. And she got pregnant. And then literally within a few days after we found out she was pregnant, she was offered a promotion to be a branch manager in this bank, which was a big thing. And it still is a big thing. And we actually had a little family meeting to discuss the strategy of when should we tell the bank that she was pregnant? Because if we told them right away, they would have no doubt taken away the promotion, because that's just the way it was back then. So, you know, we felt like we were somehow being dishonest by not letting them know she was pregnant. Not that they needed to know, but just, you know, normally you want to go into work and go, hey, you know, bring in the balloons and celebrate. But she couldn't do that because of the fear that they would take the promotion away. So, you know, that was just times back then. And I know our industry and not just our industry, all industries have made quite a bit of progress since then. You know, with the exception of, you know, like Me Too movement tells us maybe we haven't made that much progress, but at least open discrimination based on gender has come a long way in remedying itself. So what I'd like to ask the both of you are, what are your experiences as a female in this industry, both in the past and in the present? And feel free to share other experiences from other women that you talk to. I don't expect you to, say anything bad against your employer. I don't want to put you in any kind of predicament. But just as in general, what are your experiences as a female in this industry when you first got into this industry, both of you 20 plus years ago, and all the way through to today?
I think that for myself, in the beginning, it was really natural to feel a lack of confidence simply because I was new in the industry. However, I do feel that women in general are doers, multitaskers, and we handle all aspects in our daily lives. So nonetheless, I think we take this for granted and don't really think that this is a special capability. We just feel like, oh, this is a normal thing. And what we should realize is that this is a real skill set, and we can often allow ourselves to get up to speed and excel in everything or anything that we have a determination or a mindset to accomplish. But, you know, it's no need to take a back seat and just, you know, drive it forward, be the driver. I find now that I'm older and with more experience, I use my voice quite a bit more and show more conviction in my decisions and recommendations. But I know that it took a lot longer than it should have for me to reach this level, you know, comfortably. So I would just really, you know, recommend to women out there that understand that we do have this capability that and we should take charge and feel free with confidence to understand that this is something that we can bring to our job and be an asset no matter what position we're in.
Very good. Sherry, are there differences in a female experience in this industry 27 years ago versus
today? Oh, absolutely. When I started, I was one of the very few women in the sales and marketing arena, or just in the business entirely. Kaizen's always been really good about hiring women. We have a lot of smart women that work here. As a matter of fact, International Women's Day was last month, and I counted how many we have, and we have over 30 women that work for Kaizen globally and in a variety of positions, from accounting to chemist to applications technical technicians, salespeople, a lot of women in management, including myself. So we've been given a lot of opportunity here based on merit rather than our gender. But that's not necessarily the case. I would go to conferences or trade shows, and you look around and you don't see many people that look like you. And you would think that we would just band together and gravitate toward each other. But it's also a very competitive industry, I think. And sometimes as we're trying to make our place, we forget that there's other women that need to be pulled along. So, but today, you know, you go to those same trade shows, you go to those same conferences, and there are women who are presidents of their companies, they're engineers, they're giving those technical conferences, they're giving presentations, they're leaders. And it's really nice to see a bigger balance. We still have a little ways to go. I believe that, you know, there are some areas that that we need to increase in number, I think, with qualified younger people, because our industry is aging. So bringing in new people, and not just new young men, but new young women who are chemists and engineers and have MBAs and just have that drive to be able to, even, you know, machine operators, all of it. I think there's still room to grow.
I agree. When I go to, as you guys do, I go to a lot of symposiums and conferences and speak at a lot of events. And it is still predominantly men who speak at these events, although nowhere as predominant as it was 20 plus years ago. There are many women who are involved and speak at these events. I wouldn't say there's a parity at this point, but it's certainly much better. Do you think the lower number of women engineers in our industry is due to our industry, or is it just the educational systems, the colleges? Is it societal, where, you know, women don't rush out to become electrical engineers or mechanical engineers in the same numbers as men? Is this a chicken and egg question, really? Is it our industry which is not inviting, or is it our society that has different expectations?
I think it's a little of both. I think, you know, the women, young women going, when they're deciding their educational path, you know, we've been told, women have been told forever, girls aren't good at math. Girls aren't good at science. So those girls that are might feel a little intimidated at the numbers that they're having to face. But, and then society has come a really long way as far as viewing women as being capable, because like Michelle said, we're multitaskers by nature, being mothers and working outside the home and also being at home and raising children and keeping everything moving. What's not to love about having a woman in your company doing things? So, but as far as our industry, I think it's just I don't think there's enough mentoring. There's not enough light shown on those positions as far as the technical engineering and things like that. I don't think it's being communicated to young women when they're deciding their career path, that's something that's open to them and that it's something that's fun and exciting, that it's not as, boring and tedious as it might sound.
I remember when I was in high school, I was never really good at math, or I never really enjoyed math. Let's put it that way. And, I would be tempted to cheat and look at someone's paper, and I would always look at a girl's paper over a boy's paper because I thought that they were smarter. So I guess it's all perspective.
You were smart,
right?
Back then. See how smart you were?
Well, I was smart enough to know who the smart people were. That's as smart as I was. Yeah. So are there specific challenges, that women face in our industry, specifically our industry? And if there are, what can our industry do to remedy those challenges? Michelle?
It's interesting, but for some reason, there's an image that electronics is, or manufacturing is, dead. I feel that. And so a lot of the young people, men and women, young women, don't seem to be attracted to coming. I remember for the SMTA chapters, we were pulling our hair trying to find ways of attracting the university student chapter development and contacting professors from different schools and letting them know that we have this networking opportunity for their graduates. But somehow, surface mount or electronics in general didn't seem to catch their eye. And of course, the new development, we're ever developing in this industry as well. And there's a lot of exciting new technologies that are being developed. But somehow we're not attracting. We're not the image in the media. And as well as for young women joining STEM, it's just not cool.
Not good cocktail party conversation. What do you do?
Right.
That's what
you
I
have
find.
To have your pocket protector, that's your glasses, and your
That's the impression. It's probably not just women that are entering our industry in lower numbers. I think from my perspective, our industry, certainly a few years ago, was showing very strong signs of gentrification.
Yes.
It was hard to find any young person in our business. But lately, I've seen more and more younger people enter the electronics assembly space. Does the rise of younger entrants seem to be a little bit more gender equal? In other words, are you seeing in the new recruits of young people that are coming into our industry, are you seeing a little bit more equality with the number of men versus the number of women?
In our particular, in my company, it's fairly equal, which we're probably, an outlier as far as that's concerned. But our chemists are women. The young people that are coming in are women.
Yeah, I'm seeing that too. I'm seeing, just in general, the number of people speaking at conferences and symposiums seem to be a little closer to parity gender-wise. The older people in our industry seem to still be male more than female. The younger people seem to be a little bit more mixed with maybe even an almost equal
number
between men and women. Yeah, I think we're getting closer. Let's talk about FLIGHT. FLIGHT is an acronym, which is Female Leaders in Tech Everywhere. FLIGHT's tagline is Inspired to Empower. So what does FLIGHT and who does FLIGHT empower?
The concept was originally, founded by Gail Patterson. So initially FLIGHT stood for Female Leaders in Tech in Europe. However, as time went by, and of course the message, it clearly is global. So, Sherry and I are the U.S. ambassadors, and we have, Claire Saunders and Kirsty Hazelwood in Europe, and Lydia Zhao in China. So this was 2 years ago when FLIGHT first was founded by Gail. And it was her vision because of her experience as a head of marketing and communications for Flex. And, she just found for her own experience in her work and life balance that that women, were like men. They were rewarded for their abilities. But at the same time, while she was speaking with other females, she recognized that there was a lack of equal balance and equality in all aspects of the job world, in terms of pay or, rising in levels of position, upper management. So, she decided that she was going to start this group. And I joined last year as an ambassador, very proud to do so. We're small yet. We're still on a LinkedIn group basis and meeting up at the larger trade shows when we can and holding roundtable discussions and speaking on issues that concern and pertain to women in our industry and women everywhere. So we share and dialogue and hope to inspire and encourage women, to empower and to be positive and go for it. Just reach the stars. And not be afraid. And I think if we have women together, then more and more women connecting with one another in that manner, in these groups, then we'll have with these shared stories, it will build the courage and capacity individually within ourselves to be able to take that message and actually go forward in our job positions and utilize what we've learned.
Sherry, FLIGHT's tagline is to inspire to empower. How has FLIGHT empowered you and other people that you know within that organization?
As a U.S. ambassador, being chosen was an honor. But even before that, I think that being part of FLIGHT empowers you to be able to have the confidence that to know that you're not alone, that there are other people, other women that are like-minded and are there to support one another and encourage one another in our endeavors. I've participated in several roundtables at trade shows around the world with Michelle. I've been on panels in Europe where we, we talk and I think we're looking for a solution. Not only are we encouraging each other, but we're also talking to each other and saying, and challenging each other. What can we do? What can you do as a female member of this community? What can you do to encourage women around you to step forward and to have that confidence. Like Michelle said, it took her a long time to have that confidence to speak up and to have the confidence in her ability as a technical person, as a salesperson, and that her recommendations and her ideas were valid, just as valid as the guy sitting next to her. And I think it's one of the things that flight has, I've seen and I've been able to experience is the competition is gone. We're not competing against each other. We're helping each other and giving suggestions. And I've gotten to meet some extremely smart and capable women and have seen their success. And it just inspires you to say, well, I can do that too. And then you pass it on. You want to inspire others to say, no, you can do this too.
I think what we've really learned through this as well is, as you know, some of the women have shared with me that they've seen a tendency of other women, you know, looking at each other as the enemy or the competitor. And instead of helping each other and supporting one another, you find ways of degrading or putting each other down and making yourself look better as a result. But that type of cause, you know, everyone can see what you're trying to do. So in actuality, it really sets you back. So I think that if we as women can recognize that we each have such a unique capability, personality, and asset, you know, to bring to the table and not have to go to the extent of bringing each other down in order to look better. That's, you know, that is really sad. So we should be more supportive of one another. I remember on my first time at Productronica, and I was, you know, just out there alone going shopping and feeling really lonely. And, you know, I see this bright, cheerful woman just walking, recognizing me maybe from the trade show and saying, Michelle, what are you doing? And it was, you know, my very good friend, Sherry Stepp. And she was so encouraging, so warm, so inviting and asked, you know, taking me under her arm, taking me to all the best souvenir shops. Then we went and we had what's that famous drink you're always drinking?
A painkiller at Pusser's and a roast beef sandwich.
That is still one of my most favorite memories of Productronica. And I'll never, never forget, you know, the warmth she extended to me when I was feeling so alone, you know. So that's the message we bring to flight. You're not alone. We as women, we are here to support. We're here to lift. We're here to smash the glass ceiling and help each other rise.
I love it. How can our industry improve? What does our industry as a whole need to embrace that we're not embracing right now?
Wow, that's a difficult question. Just to give some comparison, Kaizen also, we're also involved in the metal finishing industry, which is by comparison is a little more archaic. It's still very technical because you're looking at aerospace, medical, and so the industries within the metal finishing segment is they're very technical, but it is an old boys club. I was just at a trade show last week, and while at electronics events, I feel very comfortable, and I see a lot of women. At one of these events, it's shocking at the, you forget, because our industry is more accepting of women. I mean, just to continue what we're doing as far as accepting and encouraging and hiring smart people instead of smart men, hiring smart people, capable people that have great ideas and have good work ethic. I mean, all of those things are are not gender specific. They're people.
Yeah. We, you know, you look at our current economy with an unemployment rate of under 3%, which is basically zero. And there is such a demand for qualified people. And, you know, nowhere in our thinking mechanisms do we say, well, we want people that look like us. We want people who look like prophets. We want people who look like competency. We want people that look like integrity. And you know, whatever people come through our door that meet those requirements, that's who we want to work with. But you know, there's a, I'm certainly not a sociologist, but, or a psychologist by any means, but I do understand that the human nature is to hire people who look like yourself. You know, that might be why our industries at the top are mono, ethnicities and mono genders, because people just do the same thing that was done to them. They hire people that look like themselves. And I think as more and more people of color and more women rise into positions where they hire, that will just naturally change the dynamic. And we'll see, you know, I don't know if women will start hiring women because that's who they look like, or if our society or the economic demands that limit the number of qualified people that are walking through the doors today will fix this. But I do think it is being fixed. I see way more diversity in our industry than I've seen before. And, you know, there's still a long lot of room to go, I think. But there is, from my perspective, as a father of one child who is a woman, I want to see our industry improve. I want to see the best people in the best jobs, regardless of what they look like. And you know, I'm appreciative of Flight and other organizations that help make that happen. Where do you both see our industry 5 to 10 years from now, with regard to gender equality and with regard to gender equality?
You know, I think you really brought you're spot on this topic, because it's already changing quite a bit. And the millennials and the Gen Zs, I have two daughters and who are millennials, and from what I see when they they're connecting with their friends, is they have such a wild diversity of different types of friends. And so they don't recognize that there's any type of racial differences. They don't really look at any type of cultural bias. They have no cultural biases when they're interacting with one another. So that's really refreshing, you know, to see the kind of diverse, types of friends that they have. And I do believe that's also, in terms of gender bias, that's also shrinking. And many times they'll have male and female friends in a group together, and they enjoy just debating about all types of subjects and one-upping each other. And it's really refreshing to me, because from my generation, we pretty much separated in terms of who were your closest friends and who do you regularly interact with. So I think that's going to definitely move forward in the workplace as well.
Very good. Sherry, where do you see our industry 5 or 10 years from now?
Well, at the rate of technology, hopefully we go. Technology changes so fast. And by leaps and bounds. I was having a conversation with one of our younger employees here. He's in sales, and we were talking about the fact that in his lifetime, there have always been cell phones. And I remember carrying around a bag phone. So, and then I started thinking, well, you know, my mother remembers when the first color TV came out. And then, you know, you talk about all the other technology that seemed to take a really long time to develop. But at this day and age, with autonomous cars and space flight and, you know, phones that do everything that a 50-pound computer did just 10 years ago. Okay, maybe longer than that. But just the at the speed that technology changes, I would hope that our industry will embrace diversity. And I think you kind of hit it on the head that people tend to hire people that look like them. And with, I think it'll kind of remedy itself as more people of different people of different genders and different nationalities, different ethnic backgrounds get into those hiring positions, that it'll kind of correct itself. But I also think that there is a lot of publicity and a lot of attention being paid to the disparity. Obviously, flight is one of those things. There's lots of other women organizations. There's news. There's you know, breaking down those stereotypes and breaking down those walls is happening before our eyes. We're getting to watch history unfold. So I think that in 5 years that it'll just keep getting better. I'm hoping other industries catch up. You know, I don't see anybody having this discussion in the law field. There are probably, well, I don't have numbers, but, you know, you don't look at lawyers and think, oh, well, I see a lot more men lawyers than women. You don't look at doctors and say, oh, I see a lot more men doctors than women doctors. You might look at nurses and say, I see a lot more women nurses than I see men nurses. But, you know, that's their own problem.
Yeah, you're right. Other industries, this is, you know, this has been solved, you know, years ago in other industries. Other industries, there's just no preset bias expectation for gender or culture or ethnicity. You kind of, you get who you get. If I went into the doctor and it was a woman, I wouldn't think any different than if it was a man or anything like that. But in other industries, you mentioned the metal finishing industry, they're still a little bit more behind a few years in terms of gender equality and expectations and maybe gender biases. And I might be making that as a stereotype because I'm not in that industry.
I see it every day.
But I would see the same for mechanics. You know, I when I get my car worked on, I tend to kind of sneak into the maintenance bays and because I like to watch what they're doing. And it's predominantly men. In fact, if I saw a woman there, I would be surprised, not disappointed, but I would certainly be surprised because I'm not used to that. So I guess our industry is has certainly evolved faster than others and not as fast as others. So how do people get involved with flight? If someone is listening to this and they would like to get involved with flight, what's the best way for them to reach out?
Well, they can certainly contact either, you know, Sherry or myself for sure. But certainly they can go on the website, weareflight.com, www.weareflight.com, and, you know, join us there.
And flight is FLITE. FLITE, yes. Since it's an acronym.
You're right.
If you go on weareflight, I have no idea where you're going to end up, but certainly weareflight.com will get you to this wonderful organization.
Thank you. Yes, we're on LinkedIn as well. We are actually a LinkedIn group, so you can join on LinkedIn as well.
Do men get involved in flight at all? Is there a place for men in flight?
Absolutely. We would love for them to respond, for like us on different articles that we post. And actually, we have quite a few supporters at the Women's Leadership Networking Forum that we have at SMTAI every year. They bring, you know, their colleagues, their daughters, their staff members to the meetings and join us there and connect, you know, the same young women or women to flight as well. So it's imperative actually that we have men join and be supportive of flight.
Wonderful. Well, this has been great. Thank you for enlightening me on flight and the plight of women in our industry. Plight's probably too dramatic of a word these days. I don't consider it much of as much a plight as it may have been when we all got into this business. But I do appreciate the fact that Michelle and Sherry are ambassadors for flight. They could not have picked better ambassadors. I've known both of you for all the years you've been in this industry. I think I've been in this industry for 32 altogether, but certainly the last 20 plus I've known both of you, and I really appreciate our friendship and our interactions when we see each other, usually out in the field. And thanks for enlightening me on flight's purpose and its desire to empower women in our industry. I think our industry is and will be better off for the efforts that the two of you and the rest of the people at flight are putting out.
Thank you so much, Mike. We really appreciate you. But we have a question for you.
Sure.
Okay. Is it Captain Morgan, Diet Coke, with or without lime?
Oh, two limes. Always two limes. Captain Morgan, Diet Coke, two limes. You know why I asked for two limes?
Why?
Because if I just say with a lime, they always forget my lime. If I say two limes, somehow people remember that, and I end up getting one or two limes.
I thought it was in case one fell out.
You have totally benefited me in that. Okay, it's become one of my favorite drinks as well, thanks to you.
Well, there's a lot of benefits for that, right? I remember once I ordered a Captain Morgan, Captain and Diet with two limes, and the waiter looked at me and goes, okay, one skinny pirate. And I'm like, what? And he goes, we call that a skinny pirate. I said, no, I don't want a skinny pirate. I want Captain Morgan, Diet Coke with two limes. He goes, well, no, that's called a skinny pirate. I said, then I won't drink it. I said, I want my pirate fat and happy.
And jolly.
And jolly, exactly. A skinny pirate, I think, would be a very unsuccessful pirate, right?
I know. That doesn't sound good. It's a Captain Sparrow in the making.
Exactly. Exactly. So, okay. Well, next time we're all together, we'll have some skinny pirates. There you go.
All right. Yay.
Well, thank you both very much. It's been a joy.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Well, that's another episode. Thanks for listening to Reliability Matters. If you like what you hear, please be sure to give us a like. Just click the like or heart button below. If there are any reliability-based questions you'd like to have answered or specific topics discussed, let me know. I can be reached at mike@mikeconrad.com. That's Conrad with a K. Don't miss another episode. Subscribe to Reliability Matters on iTunes or follow us on Spotify. You can also listen to us on iTunes, Spotify, AqueousTech.com, PCBChat.com, Spreaker.com, or our newest affiliate, Ascendo Reliability, on reliability.fm, a site dedicated to all things reliability. Once again, thanks for listening. We'll be back soon with another episode of Reliability Matters. In the meantime, keep doing it right.